This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's October 16th, 2019. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Howdy.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening live, you can call us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can also send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org and on iTunes. So, folks, hey, it's been 2 weeks. Yeah, I disappeared. I had a sort of a medical emergency, and I'm fine, and I will live to talk another day. And everything's going to be okay. If you were listening to Fran's show just before my show, you got a complete description of what was going on because we made it part of the show. But I'm alive and kicking, and everything's fine. But we had a little interruption. So anyway, Ron's rant of the week: interruptions in life. I'll put that in there. I don't like that. But anyway, are you alternative transportation friendly? Okay, we're going to discuss this a little bit further in as we get deeper into our show. I have a guest here this morning, and we'll get into this a little bit more. But there's a documentary that's coming up tomorrow night in East Hartford, and we will speak about that later. There were some quotes I got from their website, which was interesting, and you have to ask yourself some questions. Why can't I make a change? Why shouldn't I make a change? Another little shout out here to Tony Charles in Hartford. 38% of Connecticut's greenhouse gas emissions are from the transportation sector, and that's really not sustainable. So what are your feelings on this? Visit my Facebook page, answer the survey, which I have posted on there that Tony sent over to me, and let's see what your opinion is on that. But so my rant is about, it's time to make change. If you feel the need to make change, now is the time to do it. And if you don't feel the need to make change, why don't you think about that? That's my rant of the week. Further discussion on the show and on my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk. Let me know how you feel about this. On a positive side. Positive side is that the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross Race was last weekend, and it was yet another truly successful event. I will say that I had to do a tremendous amount of coordination from a hospital bed because that's part of what the interruption was. And I learned a lot about organizing and calling out favors from friends. And we had close to 100 junior riders show up at the second of the Connecticut series of cyclocross in Mansfield Hollow. Cross race notes, to quote a song written by songwriters John Lennon and Paul McCartney, "With a little help from my friends." An exceptional amount of support from my...
I get by with a little help from my friends.
There you go. And speaking of her, that would be Dr. Fran, and an exceptional amount of support from my riding partner and everything in life partner,
Peddlin. But I was in Florida.
Peddlin' Fran Storch. I'm shouting out to you. I'm giving you a big kudo here.
I know.
Yeah. You interrupted my kudo.
Are you going to talk about my outfit?
Oh, my God. Fran wore the greatest outfit ever. Fran was, again, she was the podium girl. We are the only cyclocross race that I know of in New England or possibly nationally, unless somebody else can fill me in on this, that has a real live podium girl. And Fran dresses the fall part, the very New England fall part, and she was gorgeous that day and did a great job.
This year we did a little steampunk. I had steampunk, I had leggings that had, steampunk, art on it, gears and cogs and, steam and stuff. And of course, I always wear hiking boots. That's important.
Well, it's part of the flannel and hiking boot experience.
Yeah,
yes,
I had a nice tan hoodie with brown, like a tan flowery arms on it, and then of course the topper is the down vest.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Good. Usually, I mean, really, it's really appropriate to be a New England podium girl. You have to wear fleece leggings, hiking boots, flannels, really most appropriate. And I was thinking of heading
over.
But that's
okay. You looked lovely.
But you always looked, the down vest.
And everybody was very amused by you, as they always are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And so we put on a heck of a race. But a really, really, really positive side, big shout out to my old riding and racing friend, Dave Geisert. David, if you're listening, I can't thank you enough for everything you did. You really went way beyond the call of duty. You took the longest pull of the Peloton. You really did it right. And it was just a huge success, and it couldn't have happened without you, Dave. So I really, really appreciate everything you've done. The Maintenance Minute, I'm going to do a shout-out to VeloFix. VeloFix is they're a mobile repair unit. They have they're a complete bicycle shop in the back of a van and one of those big Sprinter vans. And they have a complete park tool system in the inside, everything ready to go to bring bicycle repairs to your home should you not be able to get to a bicycle shop. They are supporting this year the Connecticut Series of Cross, and so I had complete mechanical support at the race, which was super nice, and I appreciate all the guys that showed up and helped out with that. Okay, I'm going to move on to the content of the show. I have a guest, and this is my favorite part of doing Bicycle Talk, is having a guest on, because guests make the show far more interesting than I am, because I'm just peddling Ron. But so my special guest today, this is the woman who loves me. Anyway, my special guest is Susan Smith from Bike Walk Connecticut. And I have been, like, wanting you on the show since you became the executive director. And this is like, yay, we're here. So, Susan, welcome.
Oh, welcome, Ron. It's wonderful to be here. And, yes, I've been excited about coming on your show, and I appreciate being here today.
Well, we have a bunch of things to talk about. You know, it's going to be a fun time here today. But the first one all guests have to go through is you need to answer the question of telling us what your first memory of being on a bicycle was.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question, because I have seen pictures of my very first bicycle, me and my new bike, mm-hmm. our first bike.
What color was it?
Well, that's the interesting thing about it. I don't remember my first bike. And the only thing I have is a picture. It's a black and white picture. So anyone who asks me what the color of my bike is, I say black and white.
Black and white.
But my very first memory is actually my brother's bike, my older brother's bike. And I remember at Christmas, he had gotten a flamboyant red Colombian Thunderbolt bicycle.
Ooh. Did it have the tank on the top tube?
Had the tank on the top tube and a rack in the back. And I just adored that bike. It was way too big for me, and my brother would not let me ride it. But I do remember it showing up at Christmas time, and I had so hoped that that was going to be mine. So that is my first memory of bicycles.
Remember bikes at the holidays? Though it's just not—it's not a thing anymore, unfortunately. If you talk to the local bike shops, they'll tell you,
it's holidays.
It's the game where you can ride a bicycle on the game, but you're not really riding a bicycle. Don't get me started. We can discuss that at another time. But anyway, very cool. So you remember your brother's bike, because there was some envy there, a little bit of, I want that.
Yeah, a huge amount of envy, and it was just so shiny new, and I still remember that bike just as clear as it was that day.
That's great. That's great. That's a cool thing. So, Susan, you have, like, a lot of things going on now with Bike Walk Connecticut. You sent me over a nice little list here, but I'm going to let you go through it here, starting out with who is Bike Walk Connecticut?
So for those who have not heard of us, Bike Walk Connecticut is a member-supported nonprofit organization. We actually were formed back in 2005, and at the time it was named the Central Connecticut Bicycle Alliance, CCBA. We became Bike Walk Connecticut in 2010 when we adopted a statewide focus, and our mission is to make our state of Connecticut a better place to walk and bike. And we do that basically through two segments, education and advocacy.
Great. And it is getting better. I mean, there's been amazing, there's things that are happening that I didn't think were going to happen in my lifetime. That with the airline trail expansion and the Charter Oak Trail expansion, and you know, there's so much more out there too that we have, we can still develop on. And I think it's great. I think we have a very bicycle friendly mayor in Hartford, which is just blown away by some of the cycling events that we brought to Hartford, being the cyclocross race and the hand-built show. So I think that, you know, bicycling started in Hartford. You know, manufacturing of bicycles started in Hartford. And this is just a, it's just perfect state to develop and spin off of.
And, you know, it's not just Hartford. It amazes me in the last 5 to 10 years just how many local communities have really embraced the bike ped advocacy mission and have done some phenomenal things locally. Bike Walk Connecticut, you know, as you know, is statewide in their approach, but locally it just blows my mind as to how much is happening across Connecticut in small pockets, and those pockets continue to grow and grow.
Well, we're a bike friendly town right here in Mansfield.
Yes, you
and
are.
Big shout out to Lon Hulkren and all the work he's done to make that happen. And
yes,
he worked on that for years to get us to be a league certified bike friendly town.
Yes, and congratulations to Mansfield, because you know Mansfield is one of 9 communities in the state of Connecticut that are bike friendly communities. And this year, there are actually 2 more communities that are vying for the coveted award of bike-friendly community. One is New Milford, and the other is Canton. And the League of American Bicyclists will be making that announcement in November. I've watched what those 2 communities have been doing. I think they are very much worthy of that award, and I am hopeful that in November we will add 2 more communities.
Well,
that
would be great.
State.
That would be great. There's only 169, so we can.
You got to start somewhere.
You got to start. Yeah. It's great. It's great to see, and it's, you know, there's a lot of, I'll tell you, if you're looking to do this, it's an extensive project. I will forewarn you that you have to put some time into this thing to make it happen. But it is certainly well worth it. We have these cool little signs whenever you cross the Mansfield town line. There's a little sign that says the word bike friendly town.
Congratulations,
which
again.
Just makes me smile whenever I see that.
Sure.
So it's cool. It's definitely cool. And we're currently working, Bike Mansfield is currently working, and we're getting more communication with the university right here, because we see some places where they could use some help. And we're hoping to move forward with that. My friend Corey is very connected. She works here on campus, and so she's been really focused on that, and hopefully I'll have her on in the future, and we can talk about that a little bit more, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, bit by bit, just a little bit at a time until it gets a little bit better.
Well, the Bike Friendly America program, you know, not only includes bike-friendly communities, but it also includes the bike-friendly universities. There's one in Connecticut, that's Yale, and so I would encourage the University of Connecticut to consider making the progress toward being a bike-friendly university. And certainly, Bike Walk Connecticut has some resources to assist with that. So I would just say, you know, flag us and we'll try to get involved.
Well, we're going to have to connect the dots, because I'm sure we could use your help on this, anything that we can do to make it happen, because I am not, even though I am broadcasting here at the University of Connecticut, it's not a real bike-friendly university. And I see some shortfalls, and we're hoping to guide them in a direction with Bike Mansfield, because we've got a lot of things in place right now.
Well, I wish I could say that I biked to the University of Connecticut to come to come to this radio show. However, I did not. But I will say that it did warm my heart to be walking down the street, and I did see a number of bicycles at just about every building here on campus. So that's very hopeful.
It is hopeful. And the racks are overflowing right now, which because the infrastructure that was built for cycling in this university is not, it wasn't big enough for the need. And so we're having a conversation with them about that, too, because it's just, you know, this is the perfect campus to ride a bike on because it's big enough that you really need to get yourself around campus. And yes, we have public transportation here and we can carry you by bus, but it's way quicker to ride your bike.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we are hopeful. We're very, very hopeful. So I guess one of the places to really push on right now is the advocacy. What's going on with Bike Walk Connecticut and advocacy? What are you guys doing? What's your plan? We'll start with what's going on right now.
Well, in 2019, of course, we had a long legislative session this year in 2019, and that legislative session is now over. But what Bike Walk Connecticut did was they had gotten behind one of actually a number of bike ped bills that were proposed this year. Most did not go through, but there's a number of those that we did support, and we had provided both oral and written testimony for them. As one example, we had been in support of amending the crosswalk law to its previous language prior to 2017, where the wording of in the crosswalk would be changed for at the crosswalk. And basically what that does is it, by having it in the crosswalk, that decreases the safety of persons crossing the road.
Right.
So
And what that does in definition is you have to step into the crosswalk to be able to tell the motorized vehicles that they're supposed to stop. Is that the point?
Yeah. And, you know, certainly that adds risk to the
sure
pedestrian.
Does.
So the debate that has been going on about having the language change to being a pedestrian like at the crosswalk, ready to walk, is that there needs to be shown some intent. In other words, a pedestrian could be on a sidewalk but with no intent to cross. So does that mean each person who's in a motor vehicle has to stop at an intersection just because they see a pedestrian
okay.
on the sidewalk?
I'm okay with that, actually. I'm quite okay with that.
Sure.
It means that the driver is paying more attention. And you know, Fran was just out in Portland, Oregon this year, and they have that law in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it's amazing. Everybody stops. So, you know, it does work.
Yeah, and they're slightly more bicycle-friendly and bicycle-conscious than we are here.
Just a bit. But we can get there.
In the Northeast. Oh, absolutely. Lots of opportunities, and I have great optimism that at some point we certainly will. So that was one of the legislations that we had pursued. It didn't go through, but in 2020, we have another legislative session upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go after it again. And that law, surprisingly, was written up such that if the pedestrian was at the crosswalk, then that was the law. But
right.
It got changed. And my understanding is that the law that got changed back in 2017 to
really?
In the crosswalk
really?
Was actually an error or a mistake that had been made at that time, and it just really needs to be corrected. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Huh. That's weird. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. That's, well, it's important. It was really, you know, and it all comes down to the fact that my big rant that I have here all the time is the attention problem with people driving motorized vehicles and the fact that they are so incredibly distracted by their electronic toys, we'll call them, because you shouldn't be looking at that while you're driving. And also the fact that every automobile is built with a lawsuit in it, as far as I'm concerned, a distraction that could very easily take your eyes off of the road. And if I will shout it out again, I do this at every show if this subject comes up. But if you are an aspiring lawyer or a law firm and you would like to put a class action suit out against the automobile industry, you have free rein to go for it. This is like this could be the biggest payout of your lifetime. I will mention it again for any of my lawyer friends that are out there listening or anybody else. We do broadcast throughout the country on our podcast. Pay attention here. This is a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The car companies have a lot of money, deep pockets. I know they also have heavy lobbyists, but this one could be beaten. because mm-hmm. we're taking the eyes from the road to the center console, and we're making it more unfriendly mm-hmm. for soft, squishy things like bicycles mm-hmm. and pedestrians.
Yeah, and when there is a collision or a crash, I mean, there's no contest between the motor vehicle and a pedestrian
or a bicycle. No, 4,000 pounds always wins.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's really kind of a sad state of affairs. But, you know, the answer to making the roads more to making them safer is to put more bicycles on them, not to take them off.
Absolutely. And one way to do that is a segue to the second portion of our mission, and that's education. And in the period of time that I've been executive director, which has just been a little bit over a year, BikeWalk Connecticut has made significant strides in education. And would you like me to tell you something?
Oh, I want to hear it. Yeah, I want to hear it, because I had suggestions a year ago when I was talking to BikeWalk Connecticut. And one of my big ones was through the DMV, we need more education. But go ahead, what you got?
So BikeWalk has worked very diligently on the education segment of our mission. And just as an example, this year we overhauled our fourth grade elementary school bicycle education curriculum, and we created a 200-page resource book and slide presentations so that other towns could adopt it. Instead of starting from scratch, we designed an interactive gymnasium format bicycle safety program for grades 1 through 5.
Nice.
We tested that out in Old Greenwich School last spring, and we had in one day instructed bicycle safety to over 300 students, and that had gone very, very well. We've organized also a bicycle education program. It's a modified Traffic Skills 101 class for grades 6, 7, and 8, which we taught this past July in East Hartford for the Capital Region Education Council. And we've also conducted just this year courses in Traffic Skills 101, Teach the Teachers Workshop. That's all about teaching the PE teachers how to teach.
Excellent.
Bicycle safety in the school systems. We had a league cycling instructor seminar, which I would like to say congratulations to all you guys out there who had attended that, because here in Connecticut, prior to that league cycling instructor seminar, we had about 45 league cycling instructors here in the state. We now have 58.
Wow,
and
good.
What is so wonderful about that is that as BikeWalk and communities increase their bicycle safety education throughout Connecticut, those league cycling instructors will be a wonderful resource, wonderful instructors to get involved with those programs. And then also, BikeWalk Connecticut recently refurbished their bicycle fleet. We now have about 30 bicycles, and we have done various community bike safety clinics. The last one we did was in Groton. That was about a week and a half ago. They had the Groton Fall Fest. We brought down our 30 bikes. We brought down loaner helmets mm-hmm. and set up an obstacle course, did some safety demos. We had a beautiful weather day. That's always helpful.
It makes a big difference.
And there were just so many kids involved that by the time we were supposed to conclude, we went over our time slot, mm-hmm. and then we had to turn some children away. So there is without a question
There's demand. Yeah, there's really
demand
good demand.
For all
so,
of this.
So explain this. You have 30 bicycles. What does that mean? What you actually have bikes that you use for loaners, for people who don't have bicycles? I'm not quite
Absolutely.
Clear.
So, in other words, this bicycle fleet actually is from the 2010-2012 era.
Okay.
And there were maybe 24 bicycles that are 20-inch, 24-inch wheels. And they are sized primarily for the fourth grade elementary school age children. So the intent of that fleet was to use that with the fourth grade bike ed in the school systems a few years ago. Well, for a variety of reasons, that fleet of bicycles had been in storage until I came on board last year. And I am one of the elite cycling instructors here in Connecticut.
Okay.
So I was very much interested in getting those refurbished and putting them back out there. So we could use those in the school systems with the fourth grade bike education curriculum. But what we're finding we had done this year was that towns had invited us to come in and teach bicycle safety. Well, that's great, but not every child has a bicycle.
Right.
And sometimes it's not convenient for mom and dad to bring that bicycle to an event like that.
Sure. Yep.
So we bring the bicycles to them.
That's great. And do you have a big trailer or something or a box
truck? We actually have two trailers. We have a double axle trailer, which is a really pain in the butt to pull around, by the
way. Yeah. I'm sure.
And then we have a smaller one. And the smaller one we're actually using to transport that fleet of bikes from town to town. And I do have to give a shout out to the University of Connecticut because we had partnered with them for this event that we had done in Groton about a week and a half ago. And prior to that, another event that we had where it was a partnership with the University of Connecticut, we had been in the town of Meriden. And it was on a Saturday during one of the farm markets. And we brought in our fleet of bicycles, and again, we did safety demos. We have we get a little theatrical when we go out to these towns, where one of the demos that we do is the melon drop experiment. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's where you put a cantaloupe in a bicycle helmet.
Oh, I know what
then
you mean. Yeah.
Then you
yeah.
climb a ladder, and the experiment is to drop the helmet and see what happens to the cantaloupe. And of course, you don't want to do that with people.
No.
But certainly you can do it with a cantaloupe because, you know, your melon is on your shoulders.
Sure.
But this melon, we don't worry a whole lot when it goes
right.
and hits the ground in the bike helmet. And we check out the cantaloupe to see how did it survive?
Right.
And then we go back up the ladder, and then we let the cantaloupe go without a helmet. And you might guess
that's a
what
pretty
happens.
Nice visual, actually. That pretty much says it. That's great. It's a good idea.
So that's one of the things that we do. And in 2020, there will be another town that we partner with, UConn, to go to, and I think they're talking about Danbury right now. I'm not sure it's fully confirmed, and that'll be in the spring.
So, are you working with the UConn Cycling, or are you what UConn?
It's UConn Extension. So they have a department which is focused on teaching and instructing good nutrition.
Okay.
And so, as part of the effort to make our communities healthier, they wanted to put a get active component to it.
Oh, perfect.
So they come and they take care of the nutrition side of the event. And Bike Walk Connecticut has been doing the, you know, get out there and get moving
segment. Right. It's great. It's just, you know, it makes a lot of sense. We're seeing more and more of our big cities using less cars, and there's more bicycle and walking activity in those cities. My son lives in Chicago, and he walks or uses transportation to get wherever he goes. He hasn't had a car out there since he's been there, and he's been there for many years. And it's just that is going to be, it still is a very much a growing trend. Mm-hmm. And I know Mayor Luke is really focused on that.
Which is a wonderful thing.
Really like to see that happen in Hartford. Mm-hmm. And I think it's starting. And I know a lot of people live in the Hartford area and they ride their bikes everywhere. So it's certainly a thing. And, you know, the more we can pay attention to that, the better everything will be. Our planet will be better. The people's health will be better. Our healthcare system will be better. Everything will be better. And I just, you know, I'm a huge advocate for cycling. It really is to me, it's the most important thing in my life, and of course, it should be in everyone's life. But
well, it's funny that you say that because when I go on vacation now, even though my work day in and day out has to do with bike ped advocacy and such, when I go on vacation, I want a bike.
Yeah. Well, Fran went out to Portland a couple of years ago. She went to naturopathic college in Portland, so she goes out there and visits often because she has got friends out there. And she went out a few years ago, and she didn't rent a car. She rented a bike. And that's what she is to get around, which is pretty cool.
It is
very
cool.
That you could do that. You know, why rent a car when you can get everything done on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, the proper equipment, the panniers, the racks, whatever you need to carry everything, the heck with the car. You don't need the car. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing that, you know, people need to understand and realize. And we'll talk about that further in on this, because we're going to talk about motherlode. And that's going to be that just from what I've seen from the previews of the film and all, it's like, my God, this is a no-brainer. This is an absolute no-brainer. It's such a simple solution. Mm-hmm. And it's so positive and in so many ways. So it sounds to me like you've got education going on. I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I saw a piece on New London.
Ah.
And it was, you know, I'm looking, I'm going, wow, they're talking about bicycles on the news. And on the local news, they're talking about Connecticut local news. They're talking all about New London. They're showing all these people on bikes, and they're talking about the old Pequot Avenue bike lane and the old Montauk Avenue bike lane, which, by the way, I think were probably two of the first ones in the state, because New London has been very progressive. Mm-hmm. And I grew up down in Ledyard, so I was very aware of that. But New London's on the move right now. Do you know much about that?
It certainly is on the move. And it just so happened that I was invited to attend a bicycle plan open house. It happened to take place last night at the Wayfarer Bicycle Shop on Ocean
Bobby Harrington's
Ave.
Old store, yeah.
It's now run by an individual, I believe, named Pat.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the open house was to talk about the New London bike plan. And the city planner for the city of New London hosted it, Sybil Tete, perhaps.
Okay.
And Mayor Mike Passero was there, along with representatives from Bike New London and some other individuals. And they talked about their bicycle route network that they have laid out in the city of New London. They're talking about putting up a number of kiosks that will provide maps for folks to use to navigate around the city by bike. And and a portion of that route network is the Eastern Shoreline Path, which the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments right now is in their final draft for their bicycle and pedestrian plan. And it's a shoreline bike path that goes from Westerly, Rhode Island to the East Lyme or Olyme border. I know,
that's
it's so exciting.
Huge. That's enormous.
Yeah, it's so exciting. So the reason why Bike Walk was down there, well, not only because we're interested in knowing what's going on in all our communities,
right?
But we had gone down there because what they felt was one of the missing components for them to move forward with this plan is to introduce more bicycle safety and bike ped education in New London. And they are looking to Bike Walk Connecticut to help them with that, which we are very excited about. I don't yet know the details of that involvement, but we are planning on having some follow-up meetings. And I've been down to New London now a few times, and so I've gotten to know some of the folks down there, and I'm really, really excited for this bike plan that they're looking to put in place. And they're serious about it.
That's so good. That's it, you know, and you have to have that enthusiasm, and you have to be serious about this to make it happen, because you will turn people's heads. It works. If you go in there with the right energy, it certainly works.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing also is, you know, even with data or telling people how wonderful bike friendliness or pedestrian friendliness in a community is, until you experience it, that's when people really buy in. So
right.
That's where it's so important to give people a taste of what your community can be if it is made more bike or walk friendly. So so I am so encouraged and excited about plans in New London.
You know, something that also works really well and might be something you might want to incorporate in presentation is to get those who make those decisions, the city planners, the mayors, and require them to go for a ride with you through their town. And show them the specific areas where there is need, and explain from behind the handlebars exactly, you know, here's what you see as a cyclist. Here's what you see as a person who rides bicycles. This is not, you know, you're not sitting in your car and taking them for a little tour. Put them on the seat of a bicycle, and it just changes the entire presentation.
It sure does, and that is such an excellent, excellent idea, because when you're in a car, you cannot hear the birds chirping. You can't hear the water on that shoreline. You're really encapsulated into this enclosure,
right,
that you don't get that same sensory input that you do when you're on a bicycle or
right,
walking, for that matter.
You know, there's an annex plan, and I know some people that are involved with it from Groton going north, also towards Preston.
Okay.
I only know about this because I am heir to a small portion of 140 acres in Ledyard where my grandfather's farm was, and it's supposed to go right through the farm. Convincing my relatives that this is a good thing has been placed upon me to, and I think it's just brilliant. I just think it's great. It'll bring you right up into the Pocatonic section of Preston, and it starts down in Groton. And most of it is pretty much approved and in place until the go-ahead goes through, but there's some private land that has to cross, and private landowners are so, well, I understand their concern of having, you know, strangers going through their property. But what they don't understand is the strangers are really, quite honestly, middle and upper middle class people,
mm-hmm,
and not anyone that they should be overly concerned about. But they're just going to benefit from, you know,
mm-hmm,
everything.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I know that that's like a spur, I believe, mm-hmm, that has been worked on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I have to check in on that because I haven't talked to them in a long time. But and then I have to sell it to my family,
well,
which is probably going to be the hardest part.
You have bike passion in your blood, so I
do.
Would think that there is some bike passion in your family's blood as well. You just got to get that.
I'm the one who rides. They think I'm nuts. I've always been the wacky one. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It still is my passion, and it's still going to be that way. And you know, even if I go to a family picnic or gathering, it's, so are you still riding your bike? It's like, yes, I'm still riding my bike. You know, my bike and I are one. It's a good thing, and you should do it too. But anyway. So you have some other, you have some other programs here, Discover Connecticut Tours?
Yes. So, you know, our mission, we say there's two components to our mission, and that's advocacy and education. But I personally say we have a third segment of our mission, and that is encouragement and promotion. And that plays out mostly, I would say, in our Discover Connecticut bicycle tours. They've actually were evolved from Discover Hartford rides.
Oh, back in the days of Georgette Yondell.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I was on the board for the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition.
Oh
yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
Back then, yeah, she dragged me in there and. And so, yeah.
Well, they were lucky to get you.
I'm from the original crew,
so
to speak.
So since then, the Discover Hartford was going on for a number of years, and I'm not sure what year was the last year that they had a Discover Hartford ride, but in 2015, the Discover Hartford ride evolved into the Discover Connecticut ride. And the premise there was that Bike Walk Connecticut would partner with the community for the purpose of showcasing that community as being bike-friendly and even maybe ped-friendly. Originally, the towns that Bike Walk looked at were those that were bike-friendly communities, as noted by the League of American Bicyclists. Well, we've expanded since then because the communities within Connecticut, just because you're not a titled bike-friendly community does not mean that there's not to offer in a community in terms of showcasing it for being a good bicycle location.
We should talk about that in the future because we have something here in Mansfield called the Tour de Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a connection. When's the Tour de Mansfield, Fran? Do you remember what time of year that is by any chance?
Yeah, Tour de Mansfield is in June. Lately it's been the second weekend in June.
Right. And so we have like a 20-mile ride and a 40-mile ride mm-hmm. that's based out of our community center here, and we are mm-hmm. a bike-friendly town. Mm-hmm. We might try to talk about having that be a connection
we
for part of
talk.
Your part of your series.
So
I don't think it conflicts with anything else right now.
So what we've been doing is we generally choose two communities a year, and we have up to three routes. Actually, in 2019, when we partnered with Falls Village, mm-hmm. we had four routes. Mm. But it was most definitely worth it because there's just such gorgeous
scenery
in the northwest corner of our state. And so we partner with the communities, and the tour itself, of course, includes the bicycle ride. You have your choice of routes. And then the post-ride social includes live music always from mm-hmm. a local music entity, and also food that has come from some local business or organization. So
I need to connect you with this because it's basically put on by the Downtown Partnership, these stores, Downtown Partnership, all the businesses in downtown.
Okay.
But we need to talk about this in the future because I think that we have a strong possibility of showing you northeastern Connecticut, which is also beautiful and rural and
gorgeous.
It
sure is, yes. And we've not been in the northeast corner of the state yet for Discover Connecticut.
Let me take you for a ride, please. I'm serious. Let me take you for a ride because I'll show you our little world out here, which is truly it's different than the other parts of the state.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing that is wonderful about the Discover Connecticut ride is that the proceeds get split between Bike Walk Connecticut, and some of those proceeds go to the community with the request from Bike Walk Connecticut that the community use those proceeds to do something that's going to improve the community from a bike ped perspective.
Ooh, I like this already. We're going to make this happen. It seems like a no-brainer. I think that we would be a good fit for you, but
we'll talk
about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it, and I know that they're interested in getting the ridership up mm-hmm. on the event, that the ridership on the event is not as strong as it could be if it were mm-hmm. marketed in a different way. And if mm-hmm. we were doing it as a partnership to raise money for everyone, that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll table that. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Sounds good.
Another time. Let's see. Resource for League of American Bicycles Bike Friendly America program.
Okay. Well, we talked just a little bit a little while ago about the Bike Friendly Communities, Bike Friendly University. So mm-hmm. I had suggested that we talk about that merely because a number of communities are often unsure how to proceed with pursuing Bike Friendly Community status. Bike Walk Connecticut has some experience with that. Certainly, we have been working closely with the League of American Bicyclists. So those communities out there, I guess this will be kind of a call out to the communities in Connecticut. If there is an interest in becoming a bike-friendly community, bike-friendly business, bike-friendly mm-hmm. university, then please contact us. We'll be happy to sit down and chat with you and provide some consultation to help you move along in that process.
Okay. Speaking of moving along, we're going to run out of time here if we don't get on to a few more things here. You overall goals for 2020, do you have anything briefly listed, or are you still thinking about that?
Well, of course, we'll be doing the Discover Connecticut rides again. Well, as far as the bicycle education goes, we have now tested a number of new programs. So we are at the cusp of really expanding those programs. So I think you're going to see in 2020 that we are doing 2-3, maybe more times the bicycle safety events in 2020 than we did in even 2019. And of course,
excellent.
The advocacy side of things, we'll be pursuing some of what we pursued back in 2019, and hoping that maybe we get not only bills passed, but educate the public as to what those laws mean. Because it's one thing to pass a law; it's another thing such that the public understands what that means for them, whether
right.
that's the cyclist or the motor vehiclist. So,
right.
And there's so much opportunity there, And Bike Walk has a lot of opportunity to make strides in that. There's a big gap for Connecticut in that regard.
Okay, let's talk about some fun stuff.
Okay.
All right. The fun stuff is Motherlode, and there is a film that is going to be shown tomorrow evening at Goodwin College in East Hartford. I pulled a quote off of their website. The website, I think, is Motherlode. Cycle.com. I thought I had it on my screen, but apparently I don't. But the quote was, "A 19th century invention solving a 21st century problem." Great quote from the new documentary called Motherlode, the film. So tell me more. I'm really excited for this. I watched the trailer. The trailer's cool. It just, everything about it is just, it's all common sense. And what can we expect?
Okay, so this film is an award-winning documentary. It is the first and only scheduled screening here in Connecticut. It is tomorrow. Doors open at the Goodwin College Auditorium at 6 p.m. The show will start at 6:30. And it explores the history of cargo bikes. It follows director New Mother Liz Cannon in her quest to understand the increasing tension of modern life. And it turns out that cargo bikes end up offering a solution to her family life. So you may think, okay, the name Motherlode, so the film's only for mothers, but that's not at all true. It is very much for anyone who is interested in bicycles. It is of interest to all bicycle advocates, and there is very much a focus on the environmental sustainability and how bicycles might be a solution. This film is truly not to be missed, and I had the honor to see the initial screening at the National Bike Summit in March in mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., and everyone in the audience loved it. So I knew at that moment we had to bring it to Connecticut. And then 2 days ago, I got to watch it for the second time.
Yeah.
Because we tested equipment over at Goodwin. And I must tell you, I loved it as much, if not more, than when I first saw it. So I would strongly, strongly recommend anyone who has Thursday night open, which is tomorrow night, come to East Hartford. You can find out more details on bikewalkct.org. It is a great documentary. And one other thing, and that is at the conclusion of the film, this was a crowdsourced documentary. Mm-hmm. At the conclusion of the film, one of the co-producers, her name is Sarah Armstrong, she will be there to answer questions and discuss the film just after you watch it. And she lives in New Haven, and she spent 5.5 years, car-free, raising her 3 sons with the use of a cargo bike.
Yeah,
and she did it.
I caught the little clip about that. That was really interesting that they couldn't really afford the car. Mm-hmm. And so they sold the car and got this cargo bike. And they did everything with the cargo bike, grocery shopping, bringing the kids around, the whole deal. And it just, like, you know, you take a huge ball and chain off of you when you get rid mm-hmm. of that automobile.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a possibility of doing it, you just do it. Mm-hmm. So I know it's tomorrow night, and I think we can get information by going to Bike Walk Connecticut. Is that correct?
Bikewalkct.org. Yes. And
beautiful.
Of course, you just show up and buy tickets there.
Right.
And,
right. But we can't mention prices.
That's
okay.
That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
We can't wait to see everyone, not to be missed.
I will say it's very reasonable.
Thank you.
So that's what I will say. So, yeah, if you're listening and you're listening to us live and you catch this, you really need to come check this out. It's fascinating. Go to the website, the Motherlode website, and you'll see all sorts of cool testimonials and pictures of really exotic transportation vehicles and the ways that we could save the world with bicycles, you know.
We can absolutely save the world with bicycles. I am totally convinced of that. There's 2 trailers, by the way, on our website. There's one that's a little longer than the other, and that one, I think, Is even better than the shorter trailer. So, check it out.
And check that out. I think I posted one of them on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page.
So people can
check that out. And I also put information up about that, too. Okay, we got a few other things here that we have to cover, and I'm running out of time. Bike Walk Connecticut's annual dinner.
Yes, that's upcoming. This is the 14th annual Bike Walk Connecticut dinner. It is Friday, November 8th. It is at Central Connecticut State University. Doors open at 5 o'clock. It is 5 to 9. And this year, we are having Willie Weir from Seattle, Washington join us. Willie Weir had worked for literally decades as a columnist for Adventure Cycling magazine. He also worked for a radio station. And he is the author of a couple of books. And he has traveled all corners of the globe with his bicycle. And so lots of stories to tell, lots of inspiration to be heard, and very much a bicycle advocate as well. So he is our keynote. Our MC is Bruce Donald. And I'm sure many folks know Bruce, but Bruce is the Tri-State Coordinator of East Coast Greenway and the Connecticut Trails Council Chair.
A wealth of information, by the
way. Awesome.
He's wonderful.
Yes, he's wonderful. He's done so many things for Connecticut. It's really awesome. Mm-hmm. And then our guest speaker is still tentative. We're waiting confirmation, but the Connecticut DOT Commissioner has this event on his calendar. Confirmation we are looking to get within the next week or so. And last year, as you might recall, at the 13th annual dinner, we had the Connecticut DOT commissioner. So we have this now as a tradition. And,
that's a good thing. It's important.
And very hopeful that Commissioner Gilletti will join us.
And then I see the People's Choice Awards there. I won that. I won that one.
I know, in 2017.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Cool.
Yeah, that was real.
It's because I have a big mouth.
Oh, it's okay. No, you've done some wonderful things. And yes, I'm very, very much aware that you are a People's Choice Award recipient. So this is how it works, because we're actively soliciting nominations right now. So if you know someone in Connecticut who has made significant contributions to the bike ped community anywhere in Connecticut and is worthy of being recognized for those contributions, then please nominate them as a candidate for the People's Choice Awards. We will choose up to 12 recipients, as we do each year. The program's been around since 2015, and they will be awarded on the evening of the dinner.
Great. Well, that's good. And the dinner is, once again, is Friday, November 8th at Central Connecticut State University.
Yeah, and I'll mention one other thing. Mm-hmm. The food gets really, really good feedback. We tried to move from Central Connecticut one year to another location for this annual dinner, and there was enough feedback mentioning that they miss Central Connecticut's food that we went back. And so we will be again back at Central Connecticut State University. And one other portion of the dinner that I'll mention as well is we have a silent auction. It's a nice collection of donated goods and services from local businesses and bike walk supporters. And we are also actively soliciting more donations if you like. I do know in the list for this year is a lovely brand new Thule T2 Classic two bicycle hitch rack that will be part of those silent auctions. And we also have vacation packages usually. So
it's a great event. It's a really great event. I've gone to it for a number of years now.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to shut it down here. My guest today has been Susan Smith from the Bike Walk Connecticut. She is the executive director from Bike Walk Connecticut. She has a ton of information that we shared with you today. There's way more, I'm sure. If you want to know more about it, go to their website and you can click in and see what's going on with Bike Walk Connecticut. And sign yourself up for the annual dinner. Come on down, check out, meet a bunch of other people that are really strong advocates for cycling and supporters of cycling. I'm going to briefly run through events here. There is an event this evening with the the CCAP School Series at Ledyard Middle School in Gales Ferry, Connecticut, my hometown. So anyway, that is part of the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program series of mountain bike and cyclocross and other things. Coming up on October 19th, it's this weekend, the Belltown Cyclocross Race in East Hampton, Connecticut. My friends out there, on the 23rd, there is another CCAP school series for youth cycling in New Haven, Connecticut. We can go, I'll try to post as many of these as I can on my Facebook page so we know more. The October 27th will be the Brody Cross Race, number 4 of the Connecticut Series. And then the number 5 will be the number 5 will be Cheshire Cross on November 2nd. Number 6 will be KMC Crossfest in Thompson, Connecticut. And the final of the Connecticut Series of Cyclocross will be Bishop's Orchard Cyclocross Race in Guilford, Connecticut on December 1st. And that is the finals and the state championship cyclocross race. So I know I'm obsessed with cyclocross, but it's important. It teaches people how to ride bikes, how to really ride bikes, and I think it's an important thing. More race and event information, you can go to bikereg.com, bikereg.com, and click on the calendar page, and you will find both bicycle racing and recreational rides listed there. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can also listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information, or better yet, be a guest on the show, please send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.